Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we're talking about the war against God, what we see taking place in our society today, as we see the moral, ethical, fundamental foundation of America being destroyed, the Judeo-Christian values are being eviscerated, it is actually a war against God. And we see that, ladies and gentlemen, on every hand. We see that today with the Disneyland and what has taken place there. Ladies and gentlemen, Disney is in deep, deep water, deep trouble as a result of that. Let me just read you the headlines from 2 or 3 articles that validate what I'm saying. I'm thankful that we find some of our lawmakers willing to take a stand. One article says, Disney kerfuffle. The left is the cultural war aggressor. Last week, reporter Christopher Rufo released footage of the top Disney employees vowing to reject the radical LGBTQ agenda into children's programming. Disney producer Loyola Latola Revenue told an all hands on deck meeting that her team wanted to push an not so secret gay agenda in programming amid kids and sought to add to the queerness to such content. Disney corporate president Carrie Burke announced that she was the mother of one transgender child and one pansexual child, and that she would try to achieve a quota system whereby Disney would, and all of its characters by LGBTQ people, would make up about 50% of all that they do. And someone has created a hashtag that says, and people reacted, hashtag boycott Disney. And it has caused quite a stir. But what I'm looking at is the fact that our governor, Governor Ron DeSantis in the state of Florida, has taken some bold steps. Governor DeSantis says Disney stepped into the quicksand and made a drastic, unforced error. As the battle between Florida and Disney escalates following Governor Ron DeSantis signing parental rights and education bill into law, one Sunshine State lawmaker says Disney has stepped into quicksand and made a drastic, unenforced error. The Epoch Times reported April the 1st, DeSantis floated the possibility at a March 31 press conference in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, that lawmakers in the Sunshine State might need to repeal the 1967 Reedy Creek Improvement Act in response to Disney's ongoing opposition to the recently signed Parental Rights and Education Bill. Dubbed the liberal opponents as the Don't Say Gay Bill, State Representative Spencer Roche, R-O-A-C-H, a Republican, revealed through social media that lawmakers had already met twice to discuss the idea of saying if Disney wants to embrace the woke ideology, it seems fitting that they should be regulated by Orange County, Florida, end quote. And here's another article, ladies and gentlemen. DeSantis may revoke Disney's self-governing status over Don't Say Gay feud. Disney has alienated a lot of people now, Governor DeSantis told reporters at West Palm Beach on Thursday. And so the political influence they're used to wielding, I think, has dissipated. And so the question is, why would you want to have a special privilege in the law at all? The governor added, I don't think we should. During an appearance on Fox News morning show Fox and Friends on Friday, Governor DeSantis accused Disney of trying to impose a woke ideology on the state of Florida. He said Disney should be stopped because if it is left unabated, it will destroy the entire country. Now, he's made a powerful statement, and I'm in agreement with that statement. If you allow Disney, as large as Disney is, if you allow them to counter government, to challenge government, and to challenge the laws that are signed into effect in each state, and especially here in the state of Florida, it will continue to escalate until they control the state rather than the government controlling the state. He goes on to say in this article, in 1967, Florida created the Reedy Creek Improvement District, a semi-private independent governing entity controlled by Disney. Listen to what it does, ladies and gentlemen. It gave the company the power to approve construction projects for its theme parks, as well as to build and manage the necessary infrastructure to support its operation. The district was also empowered to levy its own taxes and then to use the revenue to build public services and maintain roadways and bridges as being a city of its own. If the GOP-led state government repeals the law, Disney World and all the properties would be regulated by Orange and Osceola counties in Central Florida and not by Disney and the Disney Executive Board, both out of Florida and California. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the best thing that could happen at this juncture and at this point, and I recommend even today that you get on your email, text, email, or call your legislator, whoever that is for your district in the state of Florida, and ask them to move forward with the deregulation of Disney and take Disney out of the position of having that special treatment that was done in 1967 called the Reedy Creek Improvement District, asking the governor to repeal that. And they have the authority. Listen, our legislators have the authority to modify, to change, or to totally repeal that law that gives Disney the power that they have today. And I think it's time to squelch it. I think it's time to rein them in. I think it's time to say no, because, ladies and gentlemen, Disney and Disney's associates and the Disney corporate entity are waging a war against God. They're waging a war against our churches. They're waging a war against the morals and the ethics and the values that are fundamental to all that we know, do, and say as citizens and as the world, as the globe, because God created us, not we ourselves. It's God that set up the standard and not Disney. It's God that sets the standard on morals and ethics and values and not we the people. It's God's word that is to prevail. And listen very carefully. Whether we agree with it or not, whether we recognize it or not, in the end, God wins in the end. I'd hate to be in a battle, and the battle is against God. God's going to win in the end. Disney, here's another article that says, time to defund Disney. Another article that says, Disney's secret gay agenda is caught on camera. And ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about that and talked about that. And the point that I want to make today is the battle that's taking place with Disney and the battle that's taking place with so many other corporate entities, the battle that's taking place today out of the Oval Office with Sleepy Joe Biden is a battle against God. And we need to recognize that battle against God comes in the form of trying to destroy morals and ethics and values, trying to undermine the fundamental foundation of the Judeo-Christian values that God gave us in America. I'm looking at another article, ladies and gentlemen. It says, Oreo commercial orders viewers to embrace homosexuality. It's not just with Disney. But the point I want to make, ladies and gentlemen, is we're watching the waging of a battle against God, against God's ethics and morals and values. Oreo commercial now, this article says, it's dated April the 4th. Many of the largest companies in America have felt the need in recent years to make their positions known on some of the most divisive issues in the country. Milk's favorite cookie is among them. For years, Oreo cookies has vocally supported the LGBTQ community with special campaigns and products. And now the latest is, ladies and gentlemen, they've introduced an Oreo cookie with the rainbow flag colors for the cream between the two chocolate cookies. It is the Oreo cookie. It is the flagship cookie for Oreo to promote and to continue to push our kids as they're eating the Oreo cookies and drinking milk to understand that they need to be some other sex than God has given them. This article says, coming out doesn't happen just once, Oreo wrote in the tweet shared to the, by the ad. It's a journey to the need of love and courage with every step of the way. Share our new film and let everyone else know that you are pushing and conservative. You are pushing the lifestyle of the LGBTQ agenda, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the war against God. As Dr. Henry Morris called it, the long war against God. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, as we step back in time, I think it was Hillary Clinton that wrote the book, or at least put her name on it, It Takes a Village. And I think within the left, you know, leftists throughout America have that mindset that they can step in and manipulate, and they have a greater authority in mass as teachers and psychologists and administrators and government. They have more rights to your children than you do. You know, that's what this bill that became law was all about, or is all about, in the state of Florida, is protecting the right of the parent and the innocency of children. We have children, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, playing on the playground, and if little Johnny plays with Susie and all of a sudden picks up a doll, you'll have some twisted teacher, assistant, psychologist, administrator that says, oh, well, he may be having gender confusion. And if little Susie decides she wants to climb in a tree or pick up a stick and pretend that all of a sudden she's exhibiting the male care, maybe she's confused. These kids are confused. These kids are being kids. Let them be kids. Stop the recruiting. Stop the recruiting. When I use the term recruiting, you've used the term recruiting. You know, when you can't procreate, then you recruit. And certainly that's what was taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah, where the two angels came into Lot and they said, send those two out that we might know them sexually. They were going to recruit. They had no earthly idea that they were angels, had no earthly idea that, you know, the sexuality was not a concern or a question mark. But send them out that we might know them. And we're in a generation that they're wanting you to send your kids out so that they might know them, so that they might confuse them, so that they might divert them down another path.
Greg, you're exactly right. It's not just Oreo cookies. It's not just the major proponents of the sodomite lifestyle across the nation and just about every one of the big box stores. It's our government, and part of it has been down through the past many, many, many years now, some 40-plus years, under the guise of sex education, of teaching pornographic material and the LGBTQ and sodomite agenda being taught in our public school system. It's gotten to the point in most of the public schools today that the student can be counseled on how to make a transition to another sex, or even under the guise and auspices of the medical facilities housed in so many schools today, where they can actually start that transition medically with them without telling the parents, without informing the parents, without asking the parents, and will tell the student to be silent about it, not tell the parents anything about it. It's an agenda that is a war against God's creation. Greg, and I know that you know this, but for our listeners to understand, God created male and female, and male and female, so that there would be a reproduction process that will reproduce others that would honor God and would submit and surrender to God and His authority. And you touched on it, under the sodomite agenda, there's no reproduction. It's under recruiting, and they're recruiting our boys and our girls, and they're dipping down into every level, and now we're seeing that perhaps more than we've seen in the past 40 or 50 years. Greg, hang on for just a moment. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go ahead with the question or comments, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood, and greetings yourself and Greg. You have been saying it. They are not in the business of reproducing, so it's big-time recruiting. It's really sad. It's sad. And what is happening to Disney now is not new. It has been going on for quite a long time, I imagine. And it's just that it's full-blown. It has reached full-blown now. It's an interesting time, I know, a very interesting time to be around, that what we're looking at winding up, and the good thing that we know, as you say, over and over, we know how it is going to end, we know where it's going, and we know that God has the last word. The enemy, the powers of darkness, has been so subtle in what they have been doing. And I tell you, as Greg said quite often, in the church, believers are blamed a lot, and believers, parents, need to be on the alert at a time like this. A lot will be selling out and say, leave them alone and spend their money at Disney, same way, in spite of what has become full-blown. And it's obvious to everybody. This is the selling out. The enemy has been so subtle. I remember when the anti-American spirit started, and you wondered, how could people catch on to an influence like that, saying that America is the worst country in the world, America is wicked, America is, everything is bad about America, and yet they're not looking visa to go anywhere else. The people would do anything to get a U.S. visa and come to the United States. And yet they buy on to the anti-American that has brought condition to where it is now, that the enemies, those who have sold out the country for the love of money and build up their foundation, whatever, and feeling good, has sold out the country to go down. They have not been making any mistake. It is planned. They know exactly what they're doing to destroy and bring down this country so that it can be subjected to great big China or big Russia or in the one world government.
Absolutely.
It has been coming gradually, full blown at this time, but thank God.
Lily, you're exactly right with what you're saying, Lily. You're spot on with your analysis of it. And the thing that our listeners need to understand is that what we see taking place, though we're concerned about it, though we need to speak up, stand up, and be silent no more, and be the salt and light that God's called us to be, we need to recognize it's a war against God, and that God wins in the end. That is, I've read the last of the book. I've read the last chapter. I know who wins in the end, and it's God. Lily, thanks so much for your call, for your input today. It's been very, very helpful and encouraging to us. Greg, how do you respond to some of the things that Lily said? Is she spot on, or is she spot on?
She's absolutely right, and as is often articulated, each of these assaults are clearly assaults on Christianity, on capitalism, or on the Constitution, or an amalgamation of two or three of those things. And just look through the news and see where the left is losing their ever-loving minds, where they're pulling their hair out, hair on fire type of anger or venom. And just about every time you see a direct assault, again, on Christianity, on capitalism, or on the Constitution, Representative Lauren Boebert recently asked a Biden official if men could get pregnant. And the man couldn't give a straight answer. And at the end of the questioning, in the middle of this hearing, this man turns to Boebert and says, basically, you politicians need to keep your nose out of our business, kind of thing. As if some government bureaucrat has a higher vested interest in your child than you do. Lauren Boebert has four kids, okay? Who has a greater vested interest in those four children? Does she have that greater interest, or does government have that greater interest? And if you can't answer, if you're listening to this program today and you can't answer that question, you've got a problem. And the reality is, as we've moved forward and as we've seen, it looks like every kind of perversion is coming out of the closet today, and they're proud today. Understand this. I believe that all this is pouring out of the closet because the closet is getting too full of believers that are scared to call sin sin, that are scared to profess the name of Jesus Christ, that are scared to just put their finger on the verse in the Bible and say, read here and tell me what this says.
Right.
You're so scared you run into the closet and you let the culture take over rather than you being salt and light in the culture. I say, you, it's me too. I'm guilty. I've not done as much as I could do. I've not done as much as I could do. But that should be no excuse when it comes to what you can finish the day out doing today and do
Absolutely.
Over the next year.
In one of the issues of about a year ago of Decision Magazine on page 7 and following, title of the article is Silent About Sin. Why do so many pastors avoid warning against homosexuality, abortion, and sin in our land? and it's an extensive article that well states what is taking place. Greg, I have said for many, many, many years now, the problem that we see that's manifesting itself in America with the morals and ethics and the values and the degeneration of our nation is as a result of the failure in our pulpits for morals and ethics and values. Greg, hang on for just a moment. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I just want to say that all Christians, as Christians, we need to pray every day for protection from evil.
Amen.
We are surrounded. We are surrounded by it. I have a hard time even recognizing this is my country anymore. It's like, is this really happening? Is this really being allowed to? One of the most shocking things, I think, was that really shocked me was a few, I guess it was a year or so ago, they were having reading sessions at public libraries with drag queens. Yes, mm-hmm. I said drag queens.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, my heavens. What in the world must these poor little children must they be?
And by the way, Miranda, that's paid for with taxpayers' dollars out of the public treasury or out of the school board educational funds. And we had that taking place right here in Duval County, right in our own city. And each year with what they call Pride Month, we have some of the same thing, and nothing is being done about it. And I think that it's time preachers start standing in the pulpits and preaching against it. But they're silent because most preachers, most pastors are concerned about numbers, nickels, and noses, and if they speak the truth of the Word of God, they're afraid they would lose numbers, nickels, or noses. And so I think it's time that we cease being silent and stand up.
That's right. Because they're very, I totally get that that's what they're afraid of. But, you know, the truth, if it's offensive, it's because you're not living in the truth.
That's right.
The truth, and as you say, what my opinion on something is doesn't really matter because God's truth is eternal.
Amen. And God's truth doesn't change.
We need to realize that and realize that we are the created beings. We're created by God, but we don't have the authority to say what's true and what's not. We have to just believe the Bible and what
Amen.
God says. In that
Amen.
About what's true, and I think that's one of the biggest problems. But anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Miranda, thanks so much for your input. You're exactly right, and I would challenge all of our listeners, Miranda, you included, ask your pastor to preach on these issues. Ask him why he's not. Ask him why he's not taking a stand on the morals and ethics that's being undermined and eviscerated in our nation. Ask him his position on the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle. It might surprise you as to his real position on that. I believe it's time, Greg, that our pastors stand up, speak up, and be heard. But I'm looking at another article here. Greg says, Biden pushes for the gender-affirming care that mutilates the bodies of our children. It's not just coming out of Oreo cookies. It's not just coming out of the school system. It's not just something that's promulgated out of Disney and what they're doing to recruit our sons and our daughters, but from the very Oval Office, from sleepy Joe Biden forward, Biden is pushing the transgenderism. He is pushing the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. He is pushing murder by way of abortion, all of which is an affront to God. It is an evisceration of the truth of the Word of God, and it's a war against God. Greg, speak to that thought very broadly.
Listen, there was a time, and it was just a few years ago, that we recognized that surgical mutilation of the body, in order to get that body to conform with a psychological disorder, a psychosis the person is experiencing, that would be considered malpractice in prior years. We'd have said to a surgeon, what you've done is horrific. You've permanently maimed a human body. And if you're maiming a child's body, you're literally, the child is in a position where they may be going through their tomboy phase, and all of a sudden you've locked in a twisted view for the rest of their lives, irreversible. The amount of damage. Now, within the Islamic culture, they'll do FGM, female genital mutilation. They will destroy a young lady. And many believers and many non-believers realize that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. You're permanently changing this person's life. And it's a twisted, perverted thing to do in the first place. We recognize that, or at least we did. What will come next? I mean, if you step back in time, I recall the day that we kind of went down this road with comedy episodes like Seinfeld. And I used to like Seinfeld. And they had one episode that throughout the episode, every time somebody said gay, they would say, not that there's anything wrong with that. So that was, I think that may have been the name of the episode, not that there's anything wrong with that. And they made light of it. And Christians around the world, particularly across America, watched episodes like that, and we laughed along with them. So let's put our perversion right in front of you and get you to laugh. Today, they have dozens of programs where they have to introduce your LGBT right on into the program. Some programs, they have 2, 3, 4, 5 different individuals or relationships within the program, so that you as a believer sit down and gobble down 2, 3, 4, 5 hours of TV where you're being programmed to say, that's right, that's good. You're being programmed to laugh at what what God would warn over, what God would scold, what God would say is, what God does say is sin. And I'd say for every believer, if you're an adult, you have children, or if you influence children, if teacher or administrator, you influence children. The Bible says it's better that a millstone be put around your neck and you cast into the sea than to lead one of these little ones astray. So there
Matthew,
is a
Matthew
high,
18,
high,
6 high. Is right, exactly right. Matthew 18, 6, correct. Greg, one other thought before our time has dissipated on us. In the state of California, one of the cities now says a U.S. city to give transgenders residents $900 a month despite resistance from the transgendered mayor. Another article on the same subject says California to give universal income to transgenders and non-binary residents. They're going to give $900 a month to every sodomite in the city. So we're watching this further evisceration of the morals and the ethics and the values, where we're going to pay an individual, not based on a family that needs to pay the rent, not based on the family that needs to buy groceries, not based on the fact that a family needs money to buy gasoline to go to work, but based on the transgendered mindset that the transgenders needs funding from the federal government or the state government. In this case, it's a city in California giving $900 a month. Greg, we've got about 20 seconds to wrap up. How do you respond to that? What's your challenge to our listeners today?
Stand up, be heard, speak up as believers, but don't lose hope. Palm Sunday's coming. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem that first time, some 2,000 years ago, and they heard that he was coming. John 12:13 says they took branches of palm trees and went forth before him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Look
Amen.
Forward to Palm Sunday. Be in church this
Amen.
Sunday.
Absolutely. That is exactly right, Greg. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Study 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.